Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Let's kick off this episode with a discussion around women helping other women and how they're learning from one another. My special guest today is Megan Hooper, and she's got a lot to share on this topic. Plus, she has a really interesting career journey. Megan's an entrepreneur and founder of BeSmartGuide.com, which is a platform for women to learn, connect, and promote their brands in order to achieve success and obtain their goals. But before she kicked off her entrepreneurial venture, she actually spent a decade-long career on Wall Street, working her way up from administrative assistant for the founder of a premier hedge fund to the firm's chief operating officer. She's self-taught in the world of finance. That's pretty amazing. And her expertise was quickly recognized as she then became director of operations for a global wealth management firm overseeing $4 billion, that's billion with a B, in assets across multiple asset classes. Megan's here today to share her story with you. Megan, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you, Deirdre. Glad to be here.
We're so glad to have you. And how cool is that to start as an administrative assistant and work your way all the way up to the C-level? That is pretty amazing.
Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you, so to make that switch, being C-level on Wall Street and then kicking off your own company and entrepreneurial venture, how did you come up with the idea for BeSmart.com?
Sure. So Be Smart was an idea that came to me when I was 27. I had been promoted through the ranks, running the operations, and a lot of my peers were coming up to me and saying, hey, you know, you're awfully young, but you have all of these wonderful accomplishments with your career, your relationship, your finances seem to be in order. And I found myself getting coffee three times a week, walking through people with what I did and how I was really able to leverage my experience into my goals really fast. I've been married for, you know, 10 years now at this point. And so really, with my career, relationships, and finance, I was fielding the same consistent questions how I got there. I actually give a talk now about this very same topic, that a lot of the things I learned in acting class. I was a theater major. I moved to New York to be an actress, actually. And in acting, they really teach you how to cast yourself, how to play status, and how to sort of deal with unconscious bias, so to speak, to create the life you want, to take on the roles you want, and have that same level of creativity with your career that you would have with any part that you might play in theater. But there were also many other practical pieces of advice, identifying a personal mission statement, strengths test, knowing what compounding meant, many technical skills too. And people said, well, you should write a book and put this all so that people can access it. So I said, well, I'll do you one better. I'll create a community website so all women can share their advice. Then they can actually connect and follow up with each other. And that way the content will stay evergreen as needs of women continue to evolve. So Be Smart was a result of that career journey, and starting out as a theater major and administrative assistant, I really had a sense that, hey, if I can do this, anyone can do it. And that really is the message of our community, and that's the mission that we live.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. And is this a community where anyone can join? Can you just go and sign up and be a part of it? How does it work?
So we've targeted women, and in particular, we've reached out to young women. You know, I truly have a heart for really anyone, men and women. I'm a fan of men, and and really any age. But I will say, as we launched the website, young women gravitated to this message more than anyone. So we started gearing everything we did towards them. And I do talks, and many of what we do, there will be men in the audience and people of various ages. We have women who are more senior, who are mentors in our mentor groups. So we have targeted women as a result of the response we've gotten. And I've actually been surprised how many women in college are really attracted to what we do, even though it's post-graduation life navigation, finding that first job, getting a raise, and so forth. The gals in college are very interested to have this content and community support too.
I think it's wonderful that they're starting in college to be involved in a platform and to be inspired by other women so that when they do graduate, there's even more opportunities. On the note of the younger generation and millennials, is there anything in particular that sparks your passion about this group?
You know, the core of what we do is something that we call being your authentic self and pursuing your big goals for your life, regardless of how maybe unconscious bias has influenced you. So some people call that feminism. But at the core of what we're doing, we want to help our members be who they were meant to be and do what they know they're meant to do. And sometimes what gets in the way of that is your community. People saying, you know what, maybe women don't come across as C-level, or maybe they're great team members but not team leaders. And so the reason I was really attracted to the millennials and young women, they are really craving this sort of liberated message. They're very feminist. They're very much wanting to break down barriers. And just because they don't have a visual image of women in leadership roles in politics and finance throughout the world, you know, the percentages of women in senior roles in true leadership positions averages 5%, depending on the industry or the metric you're looking at. So it's still very small at the top. But this group of women and young people, they really want to change that. They're really committed to doing what it takes to growing past stereotypes and restrictions, and technology makes that more approachable for this generation. So I think that's where why we've got that support from the millennial women in our community.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I do see that a lot, too, that they're much more open and really looking past the stereotypes, and they're looking to unite and blend with all different types of people and cultures. I find that fascinating. What do you do on your site or even when you're out there speaking just to kind of encourage women to connect and help one another out? Or what can they actually do on your platform that would help them?
Sure. Well, there's two answers to that, really. So our website, and really we're in the process of releasing an app, so hopefully it will be even easier for them to connect. But from a technical standpoint, joining, creating a profile, and it's free, and getting involved in a mentor group as a blogger or promoting their brand in our marketplace. So we want to support women three ways: through our content, our community, and the e-commerce. But in terms of inspiring them to connect, because those are all just tools, the way we inspire them to connect is by putting our core values. We have 13 core values that we believe is at the heart of leadership, and it's on our website, that we lead with those core values with everything we do. If you go to a Be Smart event, if you're a Be Smart intern or volunteer, we are a community that is expressing those core values. And that all goes back to the inner life of being an empowered woman who on the inside is, and through our mentorship study, we're helping her to sort sort of get her emotional life healthy. And as a result of that, her actions within our community and her life as a whole will be more healthy and productive as well. So there's a big emphasis on being mindful, as well as strategic with that mission. Because our ladies have big goals for their lives, but we know they can't get there if they burn out and if they feel it's about doing, but it's about being. So we really try to reinforce our values in all aspects of our organization.
So are they sort of getting in check with your emotional life, being mindful? You mentioned the empowered woman. Are these all a part of the value set that you mentioned?
So we have 13 core values, and our 13 core values are much more ideas of principles. They are, and we do training on this. We do monthly tutorials, and I'm actually writing a book on this. But our 13 core values.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Well, can you share? Can you share what some of those core values are?
Sure. And these are core values that we believe are essential for being a leader, which is what our members are after. So they are vision, purpose, empowerment, supportiveness, collaboration, mindfulness, perseverance, openness, integrity, growth, emotional intelligence, strength, and resourcefulness. So we
do training on
all of those.
Those are all fantastic values. And yes, every single one of them. Put that all together and you've got an incredible leader.
Yeah, so that's really what we try to reinforce. And as a result of that, our community has become very rich in its interaction.
Oh, I can only imagine. Do you have any inspiring stories that stand out in your mind? You know, something that's maybe you've seen a woman who is a part of your community that's really motivated you to do more?
Goodness, that is hard to answer because I feature inspiring women and they're all in their own right incredibly inspiring.
I know, right? That's like asking me to pick a woman from Women Worldwide, which is my favorite, you know? It's just so hard.
But what I can say is that certain themes have emerged. So what we do is we, similar to you, we interview successful women and asking for their advice on their expertise and their story to then share with our members. And so certain themes have emerged that I've really gleaned from. And these are women who have been, many of them, C-level or successful entrepreneurs. And the two themes that have emerged, one would be they all have a sense of nourishing that inner life, of listening to their gut, breathing, and taking time to be directed with where they think they need to go. Instead of this sort of rat race of doing, they all are very thoughtful. They all seem to take a very conscious approach to their career and what they see for themselves, taking time out for life visioning and all of that. The second characteristic is this sense of challenges come, and that's a part of it, and you simply have to say, I will never give up, no matter what. And so it's more of a series of overcoming challenges and a determination that makes them successful, a grit, if you will, than any other advantage you might think of. So that's what I've gleaned from the inspiring women we've featured.
Oh, that's really interesting. You sparked my memory. I had another guest on the show who was also talking about, you know, sort of nourishing within and trusting that gut instinct. And she said that when she tried to rationalize a gut instinct and didn't trust her guts, that she made wrong decisions. So there's really something to be said about that. You mentioned challenges. So let's pick into that a little bit. So starting all the way back from when you've been an administrative assistant, you know, moving to chief operating officer, then becoming director of operations and now doing what you're doing, what have you learned about yourself when it comes to dealing with your own challenges?
Right. I think that it is important to know that challenges are a part of it, and it's actually the way through it. What I think the reason I did well in corporate culture is I met those challenges head on, and I felt comfortable with was doing what I needed to overcome them, whether that was working till midnight or 2 a.m., educationally filling in the gaps to know what I needed to understand for finance and hedge fund management, right. For operations. And I was very comfortable with that sense of overcoming challenges. And I honestly think I got that from my arts background, that sort of disciplined, artistic, perfectionistic approach, being okay with that sort of feeling in the gut of, I haven't mastered this, but I will if I spend enough time. And so it's really becoming comfortable with challenge. Living in that place of out of your comfort zone and is critical. So when you move into entrepreneur land, when I first started Be Smart, a lot of people weren't exactly sure what it was I was trying to do. What do you mean, empower women? Aren't they empowered? what happens is, when you encounter challenges, you're tempted to give up. You're tempted to say, oh, maybe they're right. Maybe I shouldn't overcome this challenge in this rapid way, the way I did in corporate culture. Maybe I should stick with what comes easily. And if it doesn't come easily, maybe it's not right. But that's not what made me successful in corporate culture or in the arts. It was overcoming a certain number of challenges. And unfortunately, I think I wasted a little bit of time in the early days listening to too many people around me, and I sort of gave my power over to those other people when they said, you know, maybe this isn't the right thing to do, too many challenges, it's all too hard, instead of recognizing, oh, this is just the process, this is how you birth something. And unfortunately, what I learned is, if you have an inner instinct, an inner vision for what something should be, just the way I had in corporate culture, and I pursued those projects with abandon, you want to be resolute in going after it and not give up, even if people around you don't get it or understand it yet. Because when you put your power into someone else's opinion, you can't live with yourself. You will always wonder what happened if you finished that book or you went to that event. And so, you know, that's the biggest lesson, just knowing that challenge isn't a stop sign. It's a green light.
Absolutely. Sometimes I think it's, when people are giving opinions, they always mean well, but we have to realize that opinions are formed on how somebody was raised and all of their experiences and perceptions. And, you know, maybe they can shed light in certain areas, but that strong gut feeling is really kind of what, at the end of the day, you're going to have to rely on. But I do see it as an opportunity. As you were saying, even when people were telling you not to do it, that was almost reinforcing you a reason to do it. Like, sometimes having those different opinions is good. Could you see it that way too?
Well, at the time, I just thought, well, maybe they're right. Maybe I won't.
At least now, having some years behind you, it's probably like, okay, it's good to have all these opinions, and I'm going to do it this way.
It helped me learn how to not listen to my gut and then to listen to my gut. You know, listening to one's gut is important. And not just, this isn't just a, you know, female or emotional intelligent perspective. Some of the greatest deal makers and financiers operate through instinct and intuition. You have to have that in business. You have to have it.
Yeah, I mean, some women, I think the instinct or that feeling is there and they're not acting on it. I wonder if there's anything that you can do to build that up. Like, how do you tell somebody, Megan, to trust your instinct, to go with it, to try it, to believe in yourself? What would you say to them?
Right. Well, this goes back to a lot of the training we do on mindfulness and so forth. So the whole point is this. You have to practice. You have to create the habit of listening. We live in a culture that prioritizes success and doing an activity, so we fill our schedule. But in reality, what I think everyone's sort of crying out for with the mindfulness and meditation and consciousness and instinct and all that is success through stillness and all this. You have to create a habit throughout, at the beginning of the day and throughout the day, stopping, breathing, and just having a moment of quiet where the mind isn't racing, that allows that inner wisdom and that instinct. I mean, and all of this comes out of the emotional intelligence, Daniel Coleman school of thought. What is emotional intelligence? That comes from quieting those rapid thoughts, having just moments where you're breathing and you're listening and opening. And that's when that idea hits. That's when the solution to the problem happens. That's when you're able to meaningfully connect to the people around you. And that's a part of culture that we're pretty weak on. But as we improve as an American society, that moment of breathing before the phone call, before you send the email, before you tackle that project, going for the walk around the block, that is when you give time and space for the creative work to happen. And it's a part of practice that's not emphasized in our school system, but it actually, what it does is it continues to develop the limbic part, the frontal cortex part of the brain, the front part of the brain, which continues to develop, that allows you to focus, that allows you to make good decisions. So it is critical to your not just your psychological and emotional health, but your mental health. So you see all of this happen with very senior business leaders. So we're just bringing this exposure to young people.
Oh, Megan, that is fantastic advice. And I really do think just knowing that taking that moment in the beginning of the day, even the middle of the day, the end of the day, how much that is helping you to develop your senses and to be able to trust your instincts. So that's really amazing. I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts for now. We're just going to take a really quick break, give some love to our sponsor. And in the next episode, Megan's going to share thoughts on the highs and lows of being an entrepreneur.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformance.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
Deirdre Breckenridge, welcome back to the show. Megan Hooper and I were just chatting about her company, BeSmartGuide.com, and inspiring women, and a little bit about mindfulness and how to trust your instincts. So, you know, Megan, when we were talking before, you talked about the very busy mind and just a really busy culture. So I kind of wanted to ask you the question about your life and what is a day in the life of Megan Hooper look like? Define busy.
Right. So I was very influenced by the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
Yes, Highly Effective People.
And so I live, and we also go through that in one of our mentorship groups as well. But so in terms of managing my calendar and my schedule and busyness, I wouldn't say that I'm busy. I would say at the end of each day, at the end of each time I've allotted, I end with extra time on my hands. And that's because, and this is all from that book, but I take a look at what I want in my week, month, day, personally, with my goals, with my business, and I've prioritized them. And I've scheduled them. So the real key is that the to-do list, that continuous to-do list in all areas of our life, it goes immediately on the calendar in very manageable amounts of time. So I give myself 30 minutes to respond to emails, not 2 minutes. I give myself 2 hours to write a blog post, not 10 minutes. And I schedule it. And I also schedule time that is the nourishment time to breathe, time to go for a walk, time to catch up with a friend. So I don't have the psychological burden of all of this stuff going on, because it's all been scheduled on my calendar according with my priorities. It all will be addressed when that's appropriate. I've given myself a manageable amount of time to deal with everything that I want to deal with that day. And so often I'm ahead of schedule. And so just relieving that sense of emotional burden to my to-do list really frees me up to give myself fully to whatever task I'm doing or conversation I'm having and be fully there and do my best work.
That's really good. And to end up with extra time at the end of the day, I think that's the best part. So I'm just curious, you mentioned scheduling the time to sort of, you know, go for a walk or to breathe. Is that a few times a day or is that literally just the beginning and the end of the day that you had mentioned earlier? How much time are you scheduling for that? I think listeners might be interested.
So the whole breathing thing is about 3 breaths. honestly, at the beginning of the day, I take about maybe 5 minutes to sit and be still and be quiet. What you want to do is you want to have your body still. You want to have your mind silent. And you just want to have a few deep breaths. And if there's a problem you're trying to solve or direction you're looking for, you just want to ask yourself, you know, what do I do with my career? What's the next step for me? And then just sort of go throughout your day with an intention of being open, with an open life. You know, oh, I took a new way to work and I ran into a person I haven't seen for years. And that's sort of how that all happened. But what I do if you say start your day that way, that can be a really obnoxious thing to try and do. It works for me. What you really want to do is take a moment to stop physically, be still mentally, and take 3 breaths and sort of, you know, ask your inner wisdom, how do I want to deal with this? Throughout the day, just before you start a task, just take 3 breaths before you send the email, before you do the phone. You'll be amazed at the level of focus and clarity you have in that moment from that pause, really incorporating silence with noise throughout your day. But I do want to say practically, I also looked up when the mind works best on certain topics. So 7 to 8, I do emails. 8 to 9, I get dressed, travel, go to work, and so forth. 9 to 11, I do content written writing tasks. I've scheduled meetings between 3 and 5 p.m. because that's when collaboration works. And that block scheduling all goes back to when the mind works best for detail-oriented things or visual things. So I've actually been a little bit smart about how I structured what I do when I do it based on how the mind works.
Absolutely. It's almost tapping into when you know you're the most creative, and that's when you're writing. So you're using that energy there. You know when you like to be collaborative, and that's when you're having your meetings. That's really interesting. And are you, you know, as you're scheduling, are you noticing that you feel like your day is flowing and that you're giving even amounts to, let's say, yourself and to your business and maybe to your friends or, you know, significant others? Does that all just flow as a result of the way that you're handling and managing all of these moving parts?
Absolutely. I feel it's a very proactive way to live your life instead of a reactive way to live your life. So I'm not at all, you know, at the mercy of, oh my gosh, so many emails just came in and this phone call happened and I didn't get done what I wanted to do today. And, oh, you know, I'm not kind of running around with my, missing my head. I feel very much like I've accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish and the way I wanted to accomplish it that aligns with my priorities as well as my high-level view of my goals for that day, week, month, and quarter. I do feel very balanced. Knowing how my mind works, like I can write a very beautiful, you know, recommendation for someone if it's done before 10 a.m. Past 10 a.m., I start to lose my language skills. And I could, you know, for, you know, 2 p.m., I could sit there and type a sentence over and over 3 times and I would say, you know, who wrote that? That's horrible. So I have learned, you know, if it's that type of creative writing task or business proposal, it hasn't happened by 10 a.m. just roll it over the next day because it'll be so much easier for me if I can do it within that time that I know I work best. So I do feel very balanced, as it were.
That's really interesting. I just want to ask, you mentioned your goals, and you know, it's wonderful that you're feeling accomplished so often because of the way that you're managing and prioritizing your energy, let's say. So you said week, month, and quarter. I know a lot of women who probably don't take their goals to that level. I call them, there's almost like process goals, and then there are these big end goals. So is that kind of what you're doing? Are your weekly goals more of your process goals that get you to a bigger end goal, let's say at the end of the quarter? Is that how you kind of work your goals?
So I suppose, I mean, I have a background in operations, so I you know, I could write a VBA macro for creating a recipe for Thanksgiving dinner. Like, I'm actually, because I'm so comfortable with technology, and I'm so comfortable with, I have extremely organized systems, and because I really leverage technology in so many ways, I am someone who I can get, I get a tremendous amount done every day, which is probably why I feel so good.
But I would say,
in terms, it's all very purposeful. To go back to your question and your point, I think when you see, so anything entrepreneurial or working in corporate culture, you know, you take a you know, you walk an inch every day, so to speak. And at the end of the day, you want all of these inches to end up to be, oh, did I arrive in New York or California? Were they building in the right direction? So I spend a tremendous amount of time getting clear about the end goal. So, and this is part of the training we do, this whole, our very first core value, vision. The more clear you are about where you want to end up, encourage our members to visit that daily, the more details that you've fleshed out, that will help you know what to do each day. Because day over day, one can feel very demotivated because you take such small steps. But if you're so clear that it's the right step towards that vision, you know, I took a baby step in the direction of the East Coast because I want to end up on water. So, you know, it's both. And you have to revisit daily, weekly, you know, you're constantly refining where you want your business to end up, your life, your relationships to end up, that vision. When you keep that vision nebulous and vague and broad, you don't take any steps. Because you don't know what's the first step. So it is about being very clear about what success looks like qualitatively and quantitatively. And then when you take your baby steps, which is all you can do, your micro actions, you feel good about it, because if you just keep doing that, you keep walking, you will end up at your destination.
Oh, definitely. Be clear and revisit. So smart. So you did mention technology. Although I'm not sure, I'm not an operations person, so I don't know if I could use the technology you use. But when it comes to technology, is that helping you to stay organized? And also maybe just share some of your thoughts around social media, and that if that is helping you to collaborate as you reach goals as well.
Right. Well, so Be Smart is actually a social media platform. So we have groups and messages. And so the reason, so we use Google Drive, but, you know, we've got 10 editors. Our 10 editors communicate on Be Smart. So we are using Be Smart operationally as well.
Excellent.
You know, so technology-wise, I think everyone has their own system, whether it's paper, pen, or not. I mean, I'm a big Google Calendar, Gmail reminder.
I definitely folder. Do that. I'm Evernote, yeah. Too. I like that.
I haven't gotten into Evernote. I still, for that, I tend to use TextEdit, which is just sort of a running list, because it goes onto my calendar so quickly. But, and then we use Be Smart, the way people use Slack as a way of like assigning and people knowing what to do when.
Oh, cool.
But in terms of social media, you know, I think all of these technology tools are just tools. And so whether it's a tool or whether it is a social interaction on Instagram or Facebook, the power and potential behind it is only as so strong as the person behind it. So it's really, and I think what we have with the prevalence of Instagram likes and comments and so forth, and snapping our hamburgers at lunch is, you know, there can be a bit of a culture of compare and compete.
Yes.
I didn't get as many likes. My room isn't, you know, decorated as well as this girl's. And so these tools, especially within social media, are being used, but they're not being used for good always. And so what we do on our Be Smart social media tools, as well as Be Smart the platform, is we say, how do we take this technology and use it for good? Use it, be the people behind it who want to encourage, inspire, educate, and connect, and not just brag or show off or have a momentary ego stroke because of our likes. And people, when they're on our community stream, they really feel that. When they come to our events, when they connect with our members and our groups, mentor groups, they say, I really felt loved and heard, and like people wanted to support me. So that the tool is only as good as the people behind it.
Oh, absolutely. And to build that culture of support as opposed to the compare and compete is really important for women, because it is rough out there. I've talked with other women about the highlight reel and how when you start looking at everybody else's social media, you know, at the end of the day, you kind of look at yourself and say, wow, maybe I'm not doing something as exciting as everyone else. And that's really hard when you're, you know, that hurts your self-esteem when you're trying to build your confidence. So I'm so glad to hear that your platform is very supportive. When it comes to, you know, having your platform and all of these inspiring women who are there, you know, that is certainly the highs of your experience, I'm sure, as an entrepreneur. Maybe you could just chat about some of the lows. What are some of the tougher things that you've seen as an entrepreneur?
Oh, goodness. Well, that's a great question. Well, being an entrepreneur is incredibly grueling and tough and difficult. But to be honest, though, and this is going to sound, again, like, you know, in the other segment when I said, oh, just breathe.
Right.
but to be honest, it all comes down to belief and how you perceive the situation. So, for example, so the whole entrepreneurial journey, it's a series of listening. It's a series of feedback. It's a series of failures and validated testing, so forth. That's all from the Lean Startup, that book. And so in terms of the lows are times when my perspective was, oh, this will never work out. This is horrible. I mean, everyone has rejection. Everyone
right.
has isolation. Everyone has things they went after that didn't happen. I mean, I probably, you know, one could say I have 10 rejections every day. I mean, it's just filled with a series of, I tried it, it didn't work. And then, of course, there are times when things did work. So it's kind of more about a perception shift. So when I look back on my journey as an entrepreneur, or even my time in corporate culture, and to answer your question, what were the lows? I mean, to be honest, it was when I believed things were crumbling around me, and then when were my highs? Well, those were times when my mind, when I thought, you know, oh, this is fabulous. But on paper, the fabulous moments might have looked worse than the bad moments.
That's
you know
so
what
interesting.
I mean?
Like, yeah.
On paper. So the thing is what I have really learned as an entrepreneur is that it is almost about overcoming my own thought process, my own thought pattern is like 90% of the battle. Like if you're comfortable with challenge, if you're comfortable with feedback, if you're comfortable with no, this world of iterating a product, I mean, in a sense, everything I do every day is a failure because it's learning and validating what worked and didn't work. So it's either all failure or all success.
Yeah, right. But, exactly.
So it's been more of a matter of learning how to frame it and how to value it. So the biggest So the low was when I kind of believed these lies, like, oh, it'll never work. Nobody wants what you're doing. This won't matter to anyone. But from the outside looking in, you might have looked at me and looked at what I was doing, and you would have killed for my stats, numbers, press, or PR, right?
Exactly.
And so it's kind of your low then. And when I then mentally was able to shift that and say, overcome that and say, you know, lows are how I'm viewing it. And if I can get over my own mind, I can get back to working and I can provide something of value to my end client and user. You know, from the outside looking in, you might be like, shouldn't you feel bad today because that didn't work out?
Right. Well, you know what? It is how you frame it and it's your own mindset. So tell us, what advice would you give to someone who has a big dream but maybe doesn't know their path? What would you say to them?
Well, I would say first you have to get very, very, very clear about where you want to go. You have to spend time initially, vision board, list, talking. You have to get very so clear that another person could articulate back to you where you want to go and what you want to do, if you have business or relationships or whatever. You have to get very clear about that. This is true for relationships. Sometimes we attract the same type of people who aren't good for us, you know? So it relates to all categories. You have to get so specific, and maybe oftentimes this perspective we have on the business or the bad relationship is a result and a conditioning of how we were brought up mm-hmm. or how we've been treated by our friends. So if you can stop the inertia of your life, of these self-fulfilling prophecies, and stop and say, I'm going to vision board, I'm going to take, you know, write a list, I'm going to explore and go to this city and look at this industry and get a real clear picture. What would it look like to live in New York and work in fashion? What would it look like to live in a very small apartment in the West Village? You know, what does it cost? Get very clear on the details of this vision. And I challenge anyone, once you're clear on that vision, you visit it every day and every week and refine it. The step in front of you that you have to take is always very clear. And what you do is you take a micro action. Cindy Gallup talks about this. You take a micro action. It is an action that's so small, so easy to take. Why not take it? So for someone who wants to get started, I would say, and you don't know where to begin, you have to get very clear on where you want to go. And I would generally challenge them with enough questioning. They're not terribly clear. Once they get clear on where they want to go, then you can take a micro action every day. Then you need accountability. And that's what Be Smart. All of this is what we Be Smart is here to do, provide the accountability, the tools, the guidance, the quizzes, the tests, and the group to say, all right, now that you said it, we're not going to let you forget it. How can we help?
Now, excellent advice, and also Be Smart sounds like a fantastic platform. Okay, Megan, last question, super easy. Where can my listeners find out more about you and your work?
Thank you. BeSmartGuide.com. If you come, you join, you'll get our newsletter and a welcome email that can guide you to many opportunities, content creation, mentorship groups, featuring your product or service in our market. We have many initiatives coming out in the future, so those will all be communicated to members who have created a free account. So join as a way for us to keep you posted. And my bio is on there. And you can message me and you can connect with me. I respond to everyone who reaches out.
Wonderful. Megan, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all of your insights and advice. And you really had an interesting career journey, and we certainly appreciate all of your work. So you're an inspiration. Thank you.
Thank you so much for letting me share my story.
You're welcome. And I also want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.